The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Colin.
Colin, alcoholic. Thanks, Dev, for asking me. My sobriety date, September 3rd, 2008. My home group's the Atlantic Group. My sponsor is Michael B. I'm on steps 9 through 12. I grew up in Rye, New York. It's a suburb of Manhattan here. I had everything given to me. My life was perfect. When I was 13, I wanted to be the coolest kid, so I started drinking alcohol. And when I actually experienced the power that is alcohol, it had nothing to do with popularity anymore. It was something that really did for me. I couldn't put it into words. It's like my life was changed after that point, but it was nothing I spoke about. It's just the way I acted. I don't think I ever had a bad time drinking. I just loved it. I felt so comfortable, and I did some things to people while I was drinking that I may have regretted the next day, but in the moment, I sure didn't care. I also, when I was sober, I ran into a lot of issues. You know, when I was 13, 14, 15, I just had trouble getting along in school and with my peers and all the things we hear about without alcohol. So a lot of times I made all my friends drinking and lost them all in sobriety. Because I was so obsessed with what you could give me when I was sober. I had to be more popular than you. So if you were my friend, I would have no problem throwing you under the bus for a better group of friends. And if you could help me along the way, I'd happily do that. And if you were my friend, I wanted your sister, I wanted your vacation house in the Hamptons, I wanted your ski house in Vermont, and that's just kind of how I operated. So, when I hit my bottom, it was more like I was looking for, like, Sociopaths Anonymous, or, you know, Depressive Anonymous. It was like, people pointed out to me, my parents, you know, you have alcoholism, everyone in our family has it, look at you're being brought home, you're throwing up in our living room, in our bathroom, in your room, in the garage, outside the garage, and then finally the ER, and it's like, how can I explain to you that I'm not okay when I'm sober? There's just no question as to, why wouldn't I drink? I can stay sober for weeks at a time. I even stayed sober for 2 months at one point after getting a DWI my freshman year of college. That freshman year was amazing. Just an incredible... I'm somebody who really likes the shenanigans of drinking, like the games, the stealing, just fun stuff, nothing serious. Just if we're in a fraternity house, I'll just take your poultry and meat for the week, and it's just fun. It's fun, and I thought I was good at beer pong. I really had a thing for that. I thought I was good, but then I met my friend Colin in here. They call him Last Cup, and he surpassed me on that skill level. So I got this DWI, and they sent me. It was in Baltimore. And I was taking showers with people in Baltimore in the prison, and I was like, you know what, I'm never going to drink again. And when I got back to college, it was kind of like, oh my God, you were in prison? Like, you're the man. And I was like, let me ride this out a bit. And the college asked me, they said, you know, you could come back here next year. You're a nice kid. And they didn't know me, but they said, you're a nice kid, but you just can't drink. And I really love this school, and I was just like, okay, I'll just go then. Because I can't promise you that I won't drink. It's just honest enough at that point. And they sent me to this priest, Father Jack. And, I was an atheist, really. I was someone who, opiate of the masses kind of person, never understood church. And, there you go. And they sent me to this priest, and he asked me, what's the matter? And I said, I hate myself. I've hated myself my entire life. I'm disgusted with the person I am, sober. And so they send me to outpatient rehab through that summer, and that priest really helped me out, but he didn't have the solution AA has. So I'd periodically get really drunk, and it would be okay because I wasn't having fun those past month I tried to stay sober. But there was a guilt that formed in me. I asked a friend of mine over Facebook when I was 18, I said, "Are you sober? I hear you're sober. What is that?" And he said, "Yeah, just go to this." He's like, "Good to hear from you. Go to this church at this time." And that was probably September 14th of 2008. I haven't had a drink since that day, by God's grace. I was no means an alcoholic when I came into AA. I really thought I was going crazy. And unfortunately, the people at that meeting, I love those people. They 12-stepped me. It worked. But they worked the steps out of the 12x12, and they couldn't explain to me that my problem wasn't alcohol. So I ended up, as we do, making a mess of my life sober a couple different times. You know, a lot of the 13-stepping in the first couple years, a lot of the, you know, thinking I needed a career on Wall Street to fix me. Somehow, if I was powerful enough or if I was attractive enough to people, I wouldn't feel the way I felt, so inferior. And I liked Atlantic Group. I came here, checked it out, you know, around 2.5 years, and I was really impressed with the girls that came here. And I came here for that. I like AA was a social event for me. It was like, you know, kids my age, we went out, we clubbed, it was great. And that lasted for a little while. As it does, around year 4, my life fell apart again. I had the job on Wall Street, thought would fix me, an apartment in New York. I was 22. And, you know, 4 years sober, just not wanting to live anymore. Not understanding why I'm not okay. Around that time, there was a person, I think he's here tonight, Robert G. I met him at a meeting in Union Square, and he brought me to his sponsor's house on the Upper East Side. I don't know if I had met him before this point, but I certainly remembered something about this person. And, you know, this was probably the best day of my life, although looking back, I was really angry. I had met my now sponsor. At that point, it's funny in AA, you don't know you're sick, right? You don't know you're sick. You think everyone else is sick. And so Michael B., he kind of moved me in and took me through the steps. And at that point, I was withdrawing from character defects. I was foaming at the mouth. I couldn't sit still. How can you take away the things in which I enjoy, the power, the desire for power and for social influence and all those things we chase after? But my life changed after that point. I made the effort on my 9th step. You know, I'd always written it on as 4th and 5th step. I was always one of those guys. I'd act out and then I'd tell you exactly what happened. Because I feel guilty. But I finished my 9th step, and the last amends I made, I had stolen a 12-pack of Rolling Rock out of a garage in Rye, and I called the person, and they were like, "Yeah, we know who you are, but thank you, and if you ever want to come by and just talk, you know, feel free." There was an amazing couple of experiences with the 9th step. I had stolen a kayak from a yacht club and sank it, and I went to the Commodore or whatever, and I was like, you know, "I stole this kayak," and he was like, "Oh, but we got all these new kayaks. Like, come and see the kayak rack." And he like gave me a tour of the club. And there was experiences like that where it was as if my past was being rewritten, and it got me off. And that's the only reason I'm here is because AA. Thank you. AA does something for me. I'm selfish, you know. I love this thing. I love the meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and. It's been a really interesting journey the past couple of years. I'm by no means well right now. I'm not. I'm just somebody who's really broken, And God has carried me and friends of mine up in that nook of the balcony up there on the left side have carried me when I really had nothing left in me. I see God's path throughout my life. There's no story of me anymore. I was just out of the country and I met somebody. He's 33 years sober and he says, you know, he just said he's really into the traditions and he's traveled the world to these international conventions. And he, thank you. And he just said, you know, the only thing I'm really interested in my life now is to watch the glory of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I agree with that. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Lex.
Hi, I'm Lex. I'm an alcoholic. Hi. I'm really excited to be here at my home group and celebrate. My sobriety date is April 30th, 2014, so I just celebrated a year here last month, which was really... Thanks. So it's really exciting to be here, to have just celebrated a year, and then to be back and be able to, you know, share. I guess I'll just tell you guys what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I truly believe that I was born an alcoholic because without alcohol, my life is just as unmanageable. And I can picture that even when I was a little girl. I mean, just never having enough. Nothing was ever enough. Never being able to enjoy anything, always thinking ahead, always... I mean, I remember I would be with my dad and we'd be so excited, we'd plan to go to a baseball game and I'd be thinking about it for weeks and then I'd be at the game and already thinking like, okay, this is going to be over soon. Like, what's the next thing? Like, what's going to make me feel good again? Because I don't feel good the way I am now. And just always like a lot of fear that there won't be enough, that I'm not doing enough. These expectations that I put on myself, but then thought that, you know, it was what everyone else wanted of me. And so, you know, in high school, I had my first drink, and I really liked it. But then I was like, you know what? I have to go to college, and when I get to college, then I can really drink the way that I want to. So I did my first geographic, and I went to Emory, which is in Atlanta, Georgia. I thought that would make me feel better. You know, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And I got to college, and I was still drinking. And then I told myself, you know what, when I graduate college and I get a big job, then I can drink the way I want to. And so it just went on. It was just like me trying to control and manage my alcoholism, and I was worse when I wasn't drinking. And then I graduated college, and I got that job, and then all bets were off. And within a year, I was at my bottom, and it was kind of just like a juxtaposition of, like, total emotional despair and complete apathy, which doesn't even make sense. I mean, I was so sad and in so much pain, but I would just tell myself, I don't care. I don't care about myself. I don't care about this job. I don't care about anyone. I don't care about anything. And that wasn't true. Like, deep down inside, it was just so much pain and so much sadness. I don't know exactly, like, when this moment of clarity happened, but I mean, I just remember being around people and I knew I was on this like really bad path, and I just looked at someone who I thought was so much worse than me. Meanwhile, we were doing the exact same things. And I realized like that is me. And I just reached out, and thank God my parents helped me. And within 24 hours of me telling them I had a problem with drinking, I was at a rehab in Pennsylvania where I stayed for several months. But even when I got there, I mean, I had asked for help, but I like the delusion was so thick, so thick. I mean, I saw a friend a few weeks ago who I was there with, and she was telling me some of the things I was saying, and it was just unbelievable, really. And then I just, something just clicked. Like, I just realized everyone there just wanted to help me, and I didn't have to be embarrassed or ashamed. Like, I thought asking for help and trying to, like, have people share their experience with me, like, I thought that was weak. I thought I was being a baby, that I should just, like, get over it, suck it up, and, like, move on, do what I'm supposed to be doing. But really, like, it was actually like a moment of strength for me. I realized, you know, I can't do this by myself, and I have all this help available to me, and maybe I can have a better life. So I just started to shape up and follow the suggestions and do what I was told to do. And when I left there, you know, I got right on the path. I mean, I left there, I got back to the city, I went to a meeting. It by chance was the Atlanta Group Thursday meeting, which was a blessing, and I met my sponsor there, and I just got right into it. I started working the steps, I started getting a few service commitments, I started fellowshipping and calling other women, and that really just saved me. And really, before I knew it, like, so many promises were coming true for me, and I realized, like, with God's help and, like, with this program, anything is possible. But I needed to keep in mind that my behaviors and my tendencies can be just as unmanageable if I'm not working the program to the fullest. So I really just stuck with it. And, I mean, I started, like, just being passionate about things that I was doing. I totally switched careers and ended up getting a job at this nonprofit that I love, and we help mentally and physically challenged children, and I get to do event planning and, like, fundraising, and it's kind of like a family where I work. I never had that before, and I just, like, couldn't be happier with that. That's, like, such a joy every day to, like, wake up and be excited and be able to be of service there and in my personal life, too. It's just such a gift. And then I moved out, and I, you know, I got my own apartment, and I started making amends. And my parents didn't want to hear I'm sorry. They said, show me. And that's what I've been doing. I mean, of course, I've made mistakes on the way, but, I mean, my relationship with my dad is better than it's ever been. And, like, that's all I could ask for, like, to just be of service to everyone in my life. And that's what this program gives me the tools to do. I mean, I finished the steps and I started sponsoring women, and I have two sponsees right now, and they're just so amazing, and it's just so cool to be able to, you know, give them what was given to me. And I have, like, great models all around me that can show me what I need to do. I mean, I don't always know. I have problems turning it over and figuring out things, but all the tools are there for me. You know, whenever I'm struggling with what to do, I can, like, look at the book. I can ask my sponsor. Like, there's questions I can ask myself. Like, what are my motives? Is it love? Is it unselfish? Like, all those things that guide me. And I just really believe it. I just really believe it. And, you know, what can I say? I'm just really, like, excited about this. And, you know, to be able to just be of service and to help other people, like I said, within and outside of the program. I mean, my neighbor, she's going through a really hard time right now. She's like a young mother, and she really doesn't have anyone, and I can be there for her. I can be her friend. Like, I was there for her on Mother's Day, and that is such a gift. Like, I wasn't showing up for anyone before, but now I can really be a friend. And that's, like, just beautiful, to be able to be there for people, to know what's going on, to support them. And, you know, I've been through hard times in sobriety. You know, like, I lost my grandmother, and yeah, I lost my dog and all these things. But anytime I'm struggling, like, I just think, you know, if I can get through this and stay sober, then I can help someone else that's experiencing the same thing. And even just, like, in this last month, those things have been happening to me. I have a close friend that lost her grandfather, and I was able to be there for her and share with her how I got through that. I have a few other friends that are changing careers and, like, asking me how I did that in early sobriety. And if I could just pass that on, that's, like, all I really want to do. I mean, that gives me so much meaning and purpose. And, you know, like I said before, I was always searching for something, always, like, what's going to fill me up next. But now, like, with this, I have it. Like, I feel full. And I know that it's only tentative on me working the program, so I have to keep showing up and you know, do everything I can. But I just have, like, this design for living has just been so helpful. I mean, I know that I really can get through anything, and that's a gift. And to come here and, like, look out at all these people, and I know so many of them, like, not just know them, but, like, personally, like, friends with them, that's so amazing. Because before, I wasn't even, I could be in a room full of people and I really was by myself. I don't feel that way anymore. I'm able to like stay in the moment, not all the time, but a lot more than I used to be. And that's just amazing. That's really living life, because before I was just moving through it, but now I get to actually enjoy things. And I couldn't ask for more than that. And, you know, moving forward, I'm just excited to like share what I have to give and keep learning from everyone else and just make the most of this, because I know that this is such a gift. And I'm just like really excited about it. So thank you.